Hey everybody, this is Chris McCabe. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions, recording solo this week. I initially planned on doing a couple of follow-ups to Amazon Accelerate a couple of weeks ago. All the wonderful things I learned, different types of people I talked to. Some of that is still playing out, still in the work. Got some emails and calls and meetings with people that are playing out over the month of October. So maybe I'll rotate back once there are achieved results and some bigger news there. But in the meantime, I learned a lot about different types of policy suspensions, code of conduct violations. Of course, we're always talking about review manipulation suspensions. We've gotten a lot of people reinstated lately, basically because Amazon reinforced the notion at Accelerate and since that zero tolerance policies mean just that. They're not going to tolerate a lot of dancing around or mixed info or conflicting info, poorly put together appeals that only have some of what they want. You either come back with what they want and give the documents, details, attachments, or you don't. Obviously, you can still escalate it if you give them everything and there's nothing else to give and they keep saying no. Yes, of course, that's as always a situation where you should pursue escalation emails accordingly. But I spent the summer and into the fall talking to sellers who kind of wanted to do partial admissions of guilt. First of all, why so many violations? Why are you still trying to get away with all these things? You're not long for this world, this Amazon world, if you keep trying to do stuff like that. This year, if it's taught us anything, is that they only want certain kinds of brands, certain kinds of sellers. They're only too happy to wave goodbye. If you're going to play by your rules or by the rules of some group, mastermind or otherwise that you've joined, or the rules that you think you should be playing by because other people are cheating or creating workarounds or happy hacks to make more sales and you think you have to keep up with them by doing the same kinds of tactics. I mean, that's not how any of this works. Events like Accelerate and other locations, conferences, people who work at Amazon will even tell you that they know enforcement is spotty. They know enforcement is inconsistent. They kind of don't care because if you're using that as a basis for breaking the rules, then you really aren't the kind of player they want in the game anyway. So why bother discussing or wasting time getting into whether or not you were over-enforced and your competitor, other seller that you're trying to outsell was under-enforced? It's kind of like a shell game of moving arguments around on a page, trying to appeal different ways to different people. I don't know if I can speak for all the people at Amazon I've spoken to in the last 3 weeks, but many of them feel like, why should we waste our time on you if you're intent on wasting our time with games? The games that led you to get suspended in the first place, again, review manipulation is the best example, but also bad ASIN merges to harvest reviews or otherwise, any kind of detail page abuse, shooting at competitors with negative reviews, things like that. I think coming to the end of 2025, we understand what's going on here. For next year and beyond, Amazon wants sellers who play by the rules, who understand that the more you mess around, the more work you create for them, the more headache. Your competitors are going to report you. That creates more contacts, more administrative functions inside the company. And you're just bogging things down. You're not selling and giving them their cut the way they want you to and having it smooth and seamless. They don't want extra work from you. They don't want, you know, shady, silly, stupid explanations as to why you thought you were following the rules, but you weren't. In their mind, the rules are pretty simple. The code of conduct, and especially around reviews and how you contact buyers, making people scan QR codes, give out emails. I mean, these tactics are old. They're kind of defunct. You might still be using them and you might still be getting away with it, but you're just acting like you want to get kicked off. And yeah, I mean, it's true. Some people were kicked off for doing these things. We helped them get reinstated. But quite honestly, most of them, we started the conversation with, you have to come clean. You can't think that they won't see things that you're doing. Assume that whatever you're out there doing that's breaking the rules was picked up on by a competitor or somebody at Amazon or, you know, another player in this marketplace game who reported it to Amazon, and that kind of forces their hand. They have to start taking action against you. If you're caught multiple times doing this stuff, I mean, expect that you're a day-to-day seller, that the whole tent could fold up at any moment, right? We say this stuff a lot, but this summer, and again, into the period around Amazon Accelerate, taught us that, okay, they talked about this a lot in the past, and they let most people get reinstated. Now it seems like they're more serious about, if you're going to be a real problem child, they're not just going to have you sit in the corner for a few minutes and then bring you back out. Some of the suspension cases that we've seen, they kept people down for not just a couple of weeks, but a couple of months. They really put them through the ringer. They really wanted not just a good appeal, good explanations, but also proof that you're taking this stuff seriously. I've been telling people to put in their appeals, for example, that they're working with services or consultants in Amazon's service provider network, as opposed to just, I don't know, random people on Fiverr. I mean, that's just not the key to success anymore. If you're going cheap and going quick and going easy, and you're getting amateurs, VA types working on your account with lots of responsibility shouldered by people who aren't really interested in learning all the compliance procedures, or part of their sales pitch to you was that they were going to skirt the rules or try to work in some areas of gray. We just don't see much gray, if any, anymore. I think you're wasting your time. You're wasting Amazon's time. You're creating huge avenues of risk for them to knock you down, but also you're just handing yourself, you know, on a platter to your competitors and saying, I'm a huge target. I'm taking some sales away from you, but I'm really easy to take down. I'm not doing things the right way. If you have any idea how to report me, I'm an easy target. I might even get suspended. I mean, why wave a flag at somebody like that and say, you know, come and get me, because you can reap a lot of a sales windfall because of it. I've been dealing with abuse reporting for a long time. Obviously, if we're working with clients who are attacked, we report that type of abuse. Sometimes even if they're not attacked, but they pick up on people in their category who are just breaking the rules. They've been doing it for a while. Messy listings, messy practices. I mean, this is a really good time, especially in the advent of more serious zero tolerance policy enforcement. This is a really good time to just clean this stuff up and get some of these people who don't belong there in the first place knocked out. And some people are kind of like, well, they're going to attack me if I attack them. You know what? If you're doing everything the right way, they can't attack you, right? They might trump something up, but you can fix it and you can counter it and you can resolve it. There's absolutely no reason to just hang back and watch people blatantly disregard the rules. You can have all sorts of conversations about people leaving you fake one-star reviews, or people that you compete with who have low-quality product and they're getting away with giving themselves five-star reviews. You kind of have to be persistent with it. You can't just try once or twice and Amazon turns a blind eye and you say, this doesn't work. Well, if you haven't really done it, if you haven't even started the process of escalating abuse claims or reports, then you really don't have any data or factual evidence to say that it doesn't work. It doesn't work because you didn't really try. You tried on a very low level. But opportunities to, I mean, whether it's Accelerate or not, to show category managers different teams of, whether it's biz dev or seller relations, I mean, anyone at Amazon really, different opportunities to show them that you're serious about it. You're a long-term player. You're not going to break any rules. You're going to help them clean up their catalog and their categories. This is the time to kind of be paying the most attention to that, because if you're caught napping and somebody leaps ahead of you and they're the one that the category managers or the execs that they met at a conference remember, then you're playing catch up, right? And kind of in closing, I would just say the age of, you know, quickie hacks and mastermind gimmicks, I mean, I just don't think that stuff is what Amazon is right now. I understand that there might be short-term gain, but they've come a long way and they've made a lot of progress in identifying tricks people, you know, picked up at an event or a conference or some sort of group outing. They see people doing it. It's just trendy, cyclical stuff. And it's just not what this is about anymore. So it is possible to get reinstated. You can make these mistakes and survive, but you have to be completely transparent in the appeals process and document as specifically and in as much detail as possible. So questions on that, let me know. I'm probably going to be back with Leah next week on Seller Performance Solutions, but thanks for listening in and I'll catch you soon.